Hebrews chapter 11. Did anyone read it before they came today just because I sent it on a text? All right, you ready for a service? All right. Well, awesome. Hebrews chapter 11. So, you know, this is a little bit smaller group than first service, but I'm hoping for more volunteers. Yeah, more volunteering people. So in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read through it here. And just realize I was in Corinthians 11. That's a communion verse for later. But we're talking about faith and fear, favor or failure today. And see, I pose the question of what drives your life. The four words that I had posed there, fear, faith, favor, or failure. We may operate in those things in different types of seasons in our life, or we may go through a season of fear, or we may go through a season of failure. We may have to have faith through all of it. I'm going to start here in Hebrews 11. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the men of old obtained a good report. Acceptance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. That's scripture one. Our definition one goes right along with it. Complete trust and confidence or someone or something. The definition of fear was an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or threat. Definition of favor was approval or support or liking for someone or something. And the definition was failure was the omission of an expected or required action. All the top three had someone or something. Who are you putting your faith in? Okay. Who causes you fear? And how do you see favor? Who do you see favor from? Some different perspectives to think of. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was framed by the word of God, so that the things were seen were not made out of things which were visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain offered, and through this he was approved as righteous. With God testifying concerning his gifts, he still speaks through his faith, though he is dead. Each of these opportunities and each of these verses that we're going to look at today describe an area of faith. And here's the thing is this week was kind of a crazy week for us, to be honest with you. We were running around, and then it snows. But the Holy Spirit put it on my heart that, you know, if I don't have words, his word still has words, and his word brings truth. Hebrews 4:12 says this. It says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul, spirit, of joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature that is not revealed in his sight, for all things are bare and exposed to the eyes of him who we trust and give account. Thinking of the word of God is alive. So today when we go through this, I'm going to need volunteers to read the word that is alive. All right, so back into our verse here. For Abel, the story of Cain and Abel, who's familiar with it? All right. What happened in the story of Cain and Abel, Lucy? Perfect. Cain got upset because he didn't bring the right offering for God. Cain brought what he thought he was going to offer to God, not what God asked of him to bring. Abel had God's favor because he brought a first sacrifice, also a blood sacrifice, and he was able to provide that, and God showed favorably upon him. Check out this next story. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken to heaven so that he would not see death. He was not found because God took him away. For before he was taken, he had this commendation that he pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In Genesis 5:21. Can you go there, America? All right, you got Genesis 5? She's been highlighting books in her Bible. Genesis 5:21. Go ahead. How many years did he live? He says it in the next verse. He was 65 and then he lived 300 more years. How old is he then? 365 years old. And he walked favorably, or he walked with God and in God's favor. And you know what? God snatched him up. Took him right to heaven. He would not see death. All right, who's got Hebrews 11 open? Brenda, Hebrews 11, 7. So it started with faith. He moved with a godly fear, and his righteousness comes by faith. So as we were talking, fear and faith, they're both in that context of that verse. What would have been the outcome if Noah had failed? Drew had a good answer in first service. None of us would be here. When we think about that perspective, Noah was obedient to what God told him to do, even though the people of the world thought he was crazy. And he's building an ark, and it hadn't rained for such a long time frame, and building of the ark took years and years preparation. God's promises came through. He found favor with God because he was obedient to what God told him to do. When we think of the story of Noah, we could see when Noah operated in faith, but it's also, hey, God's word's gonna, his words are gonna come true, so he was moving with a godly fear. Like, this is gonna happen. Okay, so when we think about in our lives, what are the things that motivate us? You know, as we talk to kids, it's like, it's good to have some fears. Because when you're a young child, if you don't have fears and then you put your hand on the stove, you're gonna get what? You're gonna get burned. Some fear is a good fear. You know, the godly fear is saying, all right, that's going to move us in the direction that God wants us to. And it motivated us and motivated Noah to build the ark. He didn't see it as a failure because he saw it as an opportunity to find God's favor. All right, Mike in verse 8. Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place to receive an inheritance. See, Abraham had to go out in order to see what God had for him. I'll read the rest of it there because I did say 8. By faith, he dwelt in the promised land and as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Do you have Genesis 12, 1 through 7? Go ahead, America.
Thank you.
So he left without knowing where he was going. God gave him the promise of saying, this is the land that I was going to give you. He built an altar there. Abram wanted to be obedient to what God had had for him, and he had to just trust and not have fear that he was going to go in the wrong direction. How many of you guys are GPS fans? Like, getting the right place and making the right turns is important to me. Now, there are times when there's not people riding with me that taking the back roads and, like, getting lost to find your way home a different way. I've done that before. But most of the time when it's, we need to be there at 11:30. We need to be there, not today, don't worry. We need to be there at this time. I want to know exactly where I'm going. Not just, oh, let's go blindly and find how we're going to get there. You know, usually you don't end up where you're going unless you have some trust in someone. Abram had to have, not have to have fear of what God was leading him to, but he had to have faith, complete trust and confidence in that God was going to get him where he wanted to go. In verses, let's see, who's got 11:11? Another story of faith. So God had promised, it says, Sarah had been able to conceive, bore a child when she was in past the age. God had promised for him. My verse starts in by faith. In 12 it says, therefore from one man who was as good as dead, he was as good as dead. This is right from Scripture. As good as dead, sprang so many multitudes as the stars of sky, innumerable as the sand by the seashore. Abram's promise took a long time for it to happen. By world standards, he was as good as dead. But God had something great for him, to be a father of many nations, and innumerable as the stars in the sky. But he had to operate in faith. He didn't see it as, you know, he didn't see it as a failure that didn't happen in year two. You know, it was a many-year promise that had to come to fruition to what God had seen it as. And maybe he was just checking to see if they would stay obedient. In verses 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar and were assured of them. Embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Those who say such things declare plainly that they are looking for a homeland. And certainly if they had been thinking of the country out of which they came, they might have had the opportunity to return. But they desired a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared a city for them. How many of you guys like it when you get back home? When you're out on a journey or in a car trip, we were just in the car for a long trip up seeing grandma and grandpa and then came right back down. And it's like, it's the relief when you get back home, but then you also know, hey, maybe I missed out on something else. You know, the destination of where God had intended for him to go. If they would have said, oh, you know what? I'm just going to be a homebody. And stay shut in instead of being sent out. You know, it's not what God had intended for the people. He had a promised land for them. Something greater. If they would have operated in fear and concerned about failure, that they wouldn't have eventually made it. They wouldn't have found the favor of God. Verse 17, who's got it? Uh-oh. You don't. Okay, go ahead. And of him God said, through Isaac shall your seed be named. He reasoned that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, which he indeed received him in a figurative sense. When we think about that, that was like probably one of the biggest sacrifices people were faced with in Scripture other than Jesus' death on the cross. Abraham had his son on the altar, ready to sacrifice, but he was willing to be faithful to what God had said to him and said, you know what? God's going to provide a way, and God provided a ram. Was he fearful? I'm sure in his human nature he was fearful, but in his faith he was obedient to what God was willing to provide for him. He wasn't as concerned about failure because he was trusting in God, not trusting in man. It says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped while leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, mentioned the exodus of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Do you guys see a theme? What is it? By faith. What is it that we're going through in our life where we operate by faith? By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because he saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a time. He esteemed the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. But by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured by looking to him who is invincible, and by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest the one who destroys the firstborn touch him. By faith, not fear. It would have been pretty easy for Moses to take the riches of Egypt. But instead he's going to say, you know what? I'm going to be obedient by faith that God has something greater for me. In today's society, people would call Moses very foolish, except those that understand faith. Because their reward isn't here on earth, but our reward is in where? It's in heaven. Why would you want to store up the treasures and riches here on earth when we can store them up in heaven? By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, which the Egyptians attempted to do, but they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had encircled it for 7 days. We talked about this story before, but when they had marched, they were really marching by faith. Because the people were marching by the command, yet they weren't able to speak. So they were walking for 7 days, encircling the walls. They had to have faith. And if you weren't able to speak for 7 days, imagine the doubt and gossip. I can't understand what it would look like today, to be honest, I guess, because our faith is very limited in today's society, it seems. It's like, why can't we have faith, miracles, and things like these happen here in America? You would have had, if this was in America, people would be walking on Twitter and Instagram, like running into each other. They were told to do something, but they couldn't do it. All of the distractions and things that we have in here, our faith is easily be distracted from. But 7 days and no talking, that would be a challenge. By faith, Rahab, when she received the spies with peace, did not perish with those who did not believe. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, and Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets who through faith they subdued kingdoms, they administered justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong. They became valiant in fighting and turned the armies of foreign enemies to flight. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and did not accept deliverance so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials and mockings and scourging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted and they were slain with a sword. When I think about these things that people were willing to go through by faith, some of those up there would be like movie headlines. Shutting jaws of lions, dead raised to life, you know, violence of fire, escaping the edge of sword. But faith like that, you don't really hear about it that much these days. The world was not worthy of them, and they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. These have obtained a good report through faith, but they did not receive the promise. For God provided something better for us, so that they would be made perfect. Each story that we highlighted through chapter 11 and on all of these stories has the opportunity in faith and action by trusting in God. Fear didn't win. If fear would have won, the miraculous, the things that were promised wouldn't have happened. But God found favor with them. The people weren't willing to accept failure. They were wanting to persevere and trust in God. Some of those promises were a long time coming. Promise of Isaac. But they had to have obedience. You see, today we're going to have Joe come up and we're going to play for communion. And thinking about these things as we come to a time of communion, thinking of what Jesus has done in our life. But I have a few questions to ask before we pass out communion and stuff. And you can begin to think about these things, pray about them. But what areas does the enemy want you to feel like you have failed? Or he tries to make you feel like God has failed you, even though it hasn't happened yet. What fear are you facing right now? What thing are you going through, whether it's be at work, at home, as family situation, a medical condition? What fear are you facing right now that you need to put your faith back into God, that he's going to see you through? And by recognizing those fears that we face, what way have you seen God show his favor in these areas in your life before? Maybe you need to think of those times where, you know, you're able to give a praise report because God saw you through a situation. But when you find his favor, will you have the faith to see it through? Father, we thank you for those who are gathered here today. God, we just pray against the fears that the enemy puts in our lives. Lord God, we pray against the lies that the devil tells us about that we are a failure, that you were not going to be worthy, God, because your son paid the price for us. God, we ask that you would increase our faith. God, give us a bold faith. God, the things that the word is spoken today in Hebrews would begin to become alive today. That things would begin to be revealed to us, Lord God, that things would be awoken in our hearts, Lord God, that we could see miraculous things happen, that we could see a trusting in you that we haven't seen in Lonsdale and in this country in a long time. God, that you would just begin to shake things up in people's hearts. God, that the Holy Spirit would begin to speak and to utilize people to be willing to operate in their giftings that you have given them, whether it be in ministry, whether it be in the marketplace, whether it be in their families. God, but we pray that fear would not bound us and bind us up anymore. God, we would pray for those who have been spoken over their life that they were a failure. God, I pray that you would breathe new life into them today. God, I pray that they would begin to see through the eyes that you see them, not the way that the world sees them. God, I pray that we begin to find favor when we have our faith and our trust in you. God, we just ask that you would be with us today. God, encourage us. We thank you for this, Jesus. We're going to go into a time of communion. And we serve an open communion. And if you are right with God, we ask that you would partake the communion with the brothers and sisters of Christ here today. Scripture asks that we would just examine our hearts to see that we're made right, that we take communion not in an unworthy manner. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23, it says, I received from the Lord that which delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake of the bread together. Jesus, we thank you for your body being broken on the cross. Now, forgiveness of our sins, God. We just ask that you would bless it in Jesus' name. In the same manner, he took the cup after he had supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you'll proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's partake of the cup together. Jesus, we thank you for your blood that was shed for us. God, we lay down the fears that we have had in our life, Lord God. We lay down those things that we have been called a failure of. And God, we lay down the things that have kept us from you. God, today I ask that you would guide us and lead us in faith, in obedience to the words that you have written in your book and the words that you have spoken over our life, God. We ask that you would help us to find favor with you. Lord God, even for those times when obedience takes a long time, God, or your promises have not yet come, God, we pray for us to have complete trust in you. God, that our trust would not be in the things of man and the things of this world, but the things of heaven and the things of you, Jesus. We ask that you would prepare our hearts for this Christmas season. God, that when people would begin to run out and fill their lives with more things, God, but we pray that people would need to be filled with Jesus. God, I pray that our hearts would be open to share the love of Jesus with them. God, I pray for divine appointments. God, which is when you help us to encounter someone who needs to hear truth. And God, we pray that you would give us a new heart towards the community and a new heart towards our neighbors and a new heart to those who maybe we've wrote off. God, but I pray that our heart would be of yours to love people, God. And we just thank you for this week and the opportunity to gather together today. And we ask that you would bless each and every one who are here and that they would leave today. They would say, I'm leaving by faith. I'm trusting in God for his promises. And I'm leaving to make a difference for the kingdom. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.